You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Quick take. Caitlin Clark led Iowa to the Sweet 16 with a narrow win over West Virginia at home last night. Shannon, how far do you see Clark leading Iowa?
Man, she's going to have to be on her best behavior, and she's well more than capable, but the selection committee didn't make her job easier. She's got to get through Colorado tonight and then LSU-UCLA winner. So her job, she has a daunting task in order to get to the finals, but if anybody can do it, it's her. As my toothpaste commercial friend Rebecca Lobo said, the committee did not make her job easy.
Yeah, Shannon, I don't think that you've seen the best of Caitlin Clark yet. I think they've been feeling a lot of pressure, that group. I think she has been feeling it. All the attention, all the scrutiny. I think she's relieved. And she basically said that after the game last night, which, by the way, was an absolute war. Give West Virginia all the credit in the world for how physical that game was to give them a chance to win. I think there's a sense of relief that's going to kick in now. You're changing venues. You've escaped. You're not going to be one of those top teams that got knocked out in the first two rounds. I think they played their best game against Colorado, and I think Caitlin Clark has her best game to this point in the tournament, and I do still think they're going to get to the Final Four.
All right, let's get to some other squads that aren't relieved right now. They might be stressed. We're soft. Those are the words of Clippers coach Tyronn Lue when asked about James Harden saying the Clippers, quote, got to find their identity. After a 133-116 loss to the Pacers on Monday, that drops the Clips to fifth place in the Western Conference. Meanwhile, the Lakers, tough matchup against the Bucks tonight. LeBron doubtful for that with an ankle injury. LA is currently ninth in the West. All right, Shannon, let me ask you this. Are you higher on the Clips or the Lakers right now?
Hold on. Now all of a sudden I thought they had found their identity. I remember they came out the break. They had won like 20 or 23 games. They know who they are. James Harden is the leader of this team. Russ is the energizer bunny. PG and Kawhi, if this team stay healthy. Now all of a sudden, here we are 3 weeks from the end of the season, and we still searching for an identity? Come on. I thought this was the team. This is the team that they can give the Nuggets a run for their money. Nobody wants to face the Clippers. And now they've been blown out at home. At first, it was if they play at noon. You know, they were complaining about playing these 12 o'clock games. Well, this game was last night, and the Pacers beat the brakes off them.
I got the Lakers. Okay, I'm just saying, listen, I love that little monologue you did. It was highly entertaining. You're very entertaining to watch on television. I just wanted to make sure you answered the question before Wendy jumped in.
Who was Western Conference Player of the Week? What team did he play
for? Anthony Davis.
Okay, and 2 weeks ago, who was Western Conference Player of the Week? LeBron James. Have the Clippers had one of those guys in the last month? No.
Okay.
No,
now
no.
We're going player of the week. Okay. Got you. All right. Really, really digging deep, buddy. Okay.
The Wendy, Lakers. The Lakers.
We got you. You finally, maybe you'll go to a game now.
Okay. So it's very hard, in all honesty. And Shannon, you are right in the fact that a lot of us really thought the Clippers had turned the corner. Mm-hmm. And I'll be honest with you, it's kind of hard to get hotels down here at LA Live. I booked some hotels for the finals because I thought the Clippers had a shot. I wasn't picking them. I also booked them in Denver, but I thought they had a shot. This was the most impressive basketball they were playing. Their defense has absolutely collapsed. They were never a great defensive team, but they were getting real good production from all areas of their offense. James Harden was being very efficient, and they were playing strong defense. They, since the All-Star break, they are 28th out of the 30 teams in the league in defense. And that's, I think, what Ty Lue is talking about with being soft. And look, there's a couple of things. You see Ivica Zubac just getting destroyed right there. Ivica Zubac hasn't been the same player since he was out with injury. He just hasn't been as effective on the interior. Bad organization defensively. Also, James Harden, since he had that shoulder injury, hasn't been the same offensive player. So they may have some guys that are just not 100%. But that defense is hard to square. Where I think if you're a Lakers fan, which I think we've got one here, I would say that even though the Lakers haven't been playing very good defense either, and you've heard me talk about this, and by the way, the Clippers are 28 since the All-Star break, the Lakers are 27th. So it's not like they're impressing me. What the Lakers can do that gives teams pause and gives people thinking a chance is that they have another gear. And you can see it. There are some games where LeBron has more energy. And I would almost argue that I don't want to make a feel on the Lakers until I see him play the first 4 or 5 minutes of a game. In my view, as soon as you watch LeBron the first 4 or 5 minutes, you can either say he's got his legs tonight or he doesn't. And, you know, the last couple of games, he's had his legs. And he said after the game over the weekend, he was exhausted. And guess what? He's probably not playing tonight in Milwaukee. In a one-game setting, which is what the Lakers are headed towards, I think they're extremely dangerous because they can turn that defensive intensity up. LeBron can save his legs and go full bore. I think the Lakers are more dangerous. The Clippers are not going to have to play a one-game situation, probably. But right now, guys, they're in fifth place. And they're starting an Eastern Conference road trip, and sixth place is only a couple games back. They have completely lost their momentum, and then their process of losing their playoff positioning.
Look, you don't want to be leaking oil this time of year. And look, I'll also admit that when they played that stretch where it looked like they had found cohesion shortly after James Harden got there, because they had a little breaking in period with him where they lost some games, and then they hit their stride, and everybody was playing every night, and guys are playing at a high level, and they were winning games. And it did look like they had the depth and the offensive talent and the defense to be able to challenge a team like Denver, maybe more so than anybody else in the West, because all those other teams had question marks. But let's look at what's going on here over the last 6 weeks. We're all talking about the same thing. But when you really dive into the numbers, Shannon, Wendy, here's what's really scary. They are 1-9 in the last month and a half against any team that's in the top six in the East or Western Conference. So they're playing good teams, and they're losing to all of those teams. And then the few wins they do have are against bottom feeders. This has gone on for 6 weeks. This isn't a small sample size. And I get tired also of hearing identity. When people say lack of identity, it's a euphemism for lack of effort. That's all that is. They're not playing hard enough. They're not physical enough. They're not tough enough defensively. Can they turn that around? Look, we'll see. Is there another gear to be had for these guys? I don't know, because what's scary, James Harden, Paul George, really, if you look at their numbers during this stretch, they really haven't dropped off. They're efficient. They're hitting their season scoring averages during that time. Nothing's really changed. James Harden, a slight downtick in his shooting percentages. He's not quite as efficient as he was, but nothing crazy. Norman Powell, a slight downtick. So these guys are playing every night, and they're playing close to the level they were earlier in the year. They just can't beat anybody because their defense isn't good enough. And so the answer to the question right now, absolutely the Lakers. If the Lakers played the Clippers right now in a best-of-seven series, the Lakers would beat them.
Of course. I mean, you see, take the surprise out your boy's legs. I mean, you seem surprised by that statement you just made.
I am surprised. The surprise is going to stay in my voice if I'm talking about the Lakers winning the series. We might have brought up the one team in the West right now that I would pick them to beat in a seven game. Maybe Phoenix as well, the way that they're playing. They probably will be the two teams, but there's some other teams I think the Lakers will have a hard time getting by.
If they played OKC, they'll beat OKC.
Molly?
Yeah.
If the Clippers have a bad Eastern road trip, which they're leaving on, I think, today or tomorrow.
Okay.
They could end up playing the Lakers in the second play-in game. We're down to 10 or so games left in the season. If the Clippers don't start to get some wins, it could be a one game. It could, you know, they're not even on that list, but they've got 27 losses. They have a bad. They're only two games clear of seven, okay?
That would be hugely disappointing.
Hugely. They got a $350 million payroll.
Hugely disappointing.
And I'm just going to say, Shannon is right. In the head-to-head matchups this year, the Lakers have performed well against the Clippers. Getting into the play-in situation would be an absolute disaster for the Clippers, which I can't completely rule out. Facing the Lakers in a winner-take-all game to get into the playoffs would be, in potentially the Clippers' last game ever in Staples Center or Crypto, would be a quadruple disaster. They got to turn this around to avoid that situation.
Wendy, and I want to go around the horn on this. Are you confident that the Lakers can get out of a play-in tournament, regardless of who they match up against?
The way the Lakers defend, I don't like them in any playoff series right now. But in a one-game situation, the Lakers, in this era of these one-game situations, in-season tournament, play-in tournaments, LeBron James is in these one winner-take-all games, They are spectacular. They are uniquely equipped to be great in one-game situations.
I think particularly if they get into 7 or 8 and they've got 2 games to win one, they're going to get out of it. They're going to beat Phoenix if they ended up with that matchup. They'd beat Golden State if they ended up with that matchup. Not so sure about Dallas, but I think Dallas has a good chance to escape the play-in situation the way they're playing right now.
Shay?
Hey, of course. Stop it, Molly. You ought to be ashamed of yourself.
Harder head.
Check that box.
Try to be objective. Harder head, Hollywood.
Where are we
right now?
Look. This is why we love this.
Yep.
Honestly, this is why we love March Madness. This is why we love the NFL, because it's one game. And we know anything can happen in one game. But if you ask me, Clippers or Lakers, if you ask me, the Suns or Lakers, I'm going to take the Lakers because I believe in LeBron James and Anthony Davis versus any two players they could potentially face in a play-in situation.
Okay. Wendy, what are we, 3 weeks out? When does it start, the 16th?
I think the 16th is the beginning of the play-in tournament.
The 16th.
We're
3 weeks out.
And I have no idea who's going to be in it. And I think that's what's fun about this.
It's very exciting.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5X miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. To the gridiron we go. Shannon, my Giants have some big decisions to make leading up to the NFL draft. The Giants have the 6th pick with a heavy, talented quarterback class in the midst. Yesterday, owner John Mara spoke at the NFL owners' meetings backing current Giants quarterback Daniel Jones while also saying he will not stand in the way if the front office pushes to draft a quarterback with that 6th pick. Mara also spoke on Saquon Barkley's departure and said in a text to Saquon Barkley that he was, quote, sick about him leaving the team to sign with the Eagles. He went on to say, quote, I hated to see him leave. I certainly hated to see him go in the division. Let's be honest, I would have preferred he be out of the division. At the end of the day, the feeling was our resources needed to be allocated elsewhere. Well, when you don't commit, people bazounce.
Yeah.
Right?
Sure.
I mean, that's just what it is. Booger, Mike T, good to see you guys back with us. Shannon, what's your reaction to Mara's comments there about Saquon specifically?
Man, he's full of caw-caw. Guys, we know this. Anytime when you're dealing with a big-dollar free agent like Saquon Barkley, or you're going to give somebody $40, $50 million at the quarterback position, you run that thing all the way up to the flagpole. Mike T, you already know. You got to go talk to the owner. This is what the market calls for a quarterback. I think this is where we're going to need to go in order to secure said quarterback. Okay, we got a big-time free agent. He's going to be eligible for free agency. This is what it's going to take in order for us to keep him. I believe he'll give us somewhat of a hometown discount, but I'm not saying we're going to be able to get him at a bargain basement price. So for John Mara to say that he's sick, you're not sick. You might be a little disappointed that he went to the division and you think he might cause you some damage, but you're not sick because in the same breath, you turn around and say, you know what? I know we just paid a quarterback $40 million a year, $160 million, but if you want to take a quarterback and you love him at the 6th pick or you want to move up, you have my blessing to do that. Now, you can't have it both ways. You're sick because I can assure you, if John Mara wanted Saquon Barkley in that Giants uniform, guys, guess what Saquon Barkley would have been playing football in 2024 with the Giants? Just like there's a chance they might take a quarterback because he's giving it their blessing. So I don't believe anything that he's saying about him being sick about Saquon Barkley leaving.
Yeah, I don't think he's sick because Saquon Barkley left. I think he's just placating to his fan base that missed Saquon Barkley, which is what I would do if I was the owner. Like you got to kowtow to the people that's going to buy these tickets and the people that are going to tune in. Yeah, man, I would love to keep everybody. I'm sick to my stomach. But to your point, Shannon, if they wanted Saquon Barkley to be a New York Giant, they would have overpaid in Saquon Barkley being a New York Giant. With that being said, I do understand why they did not keep him, though. I understand their questions at quarterback. I get it. Daniel Jones is not the long-term answer. And it wouldn't surprise me if at number six that they did draft a quarterback. Do I expect him to? No, I don't. But it wouldn't surprise me. But we all know that John Mara is making a statement based on the fact that Saquon Barkley is no longer gone. And I do think they made the right decision. To me, to invest $13, $14 million in a starting tailback is not prudent, and I think they did a good choice or did a good job by allowing Saquon Barkley to move on. But back to the original point, if they wanted him there, he would still be there.
Yeah, guys, I see it differently. I think the Giants made a huge mistake. They paid the wrong guy last year in Daniel
Thank
Jones.
You.
Daniel Jones can't stay healthy. He turns the ball over, and they can't get to where they want to go with Daniel Jones as quarterback. I think the dogma around this running back discussion does not apply to Saquon Barkley. You think the 49ers are happy with Christian McCaffrey? Last year, couple of years, Jalen Hurts ran the ball 491 times, and he was beat up at the end of the year. Saquon Barkley is going to make the Eagles better because he's a great player, and he's going to make Jalen Hurts healthier. The Giants should have kept Saquon Barkley, not just because he's a great runner. He's a great pass receiver. He's also an improved pass blocker, and when your best player is also a great leader, those are the people you keep. And when you go out and sign players like Jermaine Alumilore or John Runyon to replace draft choices you've missed on, like Evan Neal, it's because you're spending good money after bad. So they had the resources to pay him. They paid the wrong guy.
Exactly, because guess where those resources that you allocated towards Daniel Jones could have went? To build a better roster around a quarterback that was better than Daniel Jones. That's why you don't have funds allocated for a running back, because you wasted. But hey, Boogie, remember we was growing up and you get a little money in your pocket and you go buy some knick-knack, and all of a sudden you go ask your mom and dad, hey, can I get some money? They're like, nah, you wasted on chips and honey buns and soda. No, I'm not giving you no more money. So the Giants, you wasted your money on a quarterback, as Mike T said, that can't stay healthy and seemingly can't read a defense unless it's cover five and everybody got their back to him and he takes off running. So that's where you messed up, John Mara. You're not sick. You're sick of the fans beating you up for letting Saquon go because he was a fan favorite. But you're not disappointed that he's gone, because you could have paid him last year and not been in this situation this year.
All right. Let me transition here, guys. Turning our attention to the other side of MetLife, where the grass may not be much greener. The Jets finished 7-10 last season after acquiring Aaron Rodgers in the offseason and losing him week one to an Achilles tear. Head coach Robert Saleh disappointed with how the season played out and is not satisfied losing. Saleh, talk to me.
When you lose, you're a loser. I suck. Joe D sucks. We all suck. So it goes with the territory. But you know, the best thing we can do is put our heads down. Like I said, we got to go to work. You know, all the feel good stuff of the off season doesn't matter. We got to win football games, and when we win football games, all the narratives will change.
Boog. This Jets team, real interesting. Really curious to see what they do next season. But tell me this, is Aaron Rodgers the Jet under the most pressure?
You know, on the surface, it would seem that way, but I'm going to say no. To me, it's the offensive line. Whoever they put, wind up putting a left tackle or right tackle, because without those guys protecting Aaron Rodgers, it doesn't matter what Aaron Rodgers does. We saw last year, four plays into the season, Dwayne Brown whiffed on a block, and the Jets season was over after Aaron Rodgers got hurt. So we can talk about Aaron Rodgers, where he is in his career, and this entire team is built around him, which it is, and he gives them their best chance to win. I truly agree. And he's got to play. He may not have to be the MVP Aaron Rodgers, but he's got to play above average football. And I have no doubt that he will. He's always done that based on if you look at his career. But it doesn't matter. If they do not protect Aaron Rodgers, whoever they put at left tackle or right tackle on this offensive line, and we can talk about Tyron Smith, show me a season that he's played all 17 games, then I'll believe it. So they have to make sure they solidify that left tackle, this offensive line. That's the most important person on this roster, because without that blocking, without that stalwart, without that protection, you could put Joe Montana back there. You could put Patrick Mahomes. You could put whoever you want to at quarterback. Doesn't have to be Aaron Rodgers. If they don't get the protection, it doesn't matter who else they put back there.
Booger, I'm not going to let you do Dwayne Brown like that. You knew that was a three-step drop. And you know on a three-step drop, if you work the right side, you damn well cannot come back to work the left side. You either throw that ball to the slant on the right or you throw it out of bounds. What did he do, Booger? Don't do Dwayne Brown like that. You know he's chopping on the backside because both guys are chopping because they're anticipating a three-step slant. Aaron Rodgers held on to the ball too long, and then he tried to get out of harm's way. That's not on Dwayne Brown. That's on Aaron Rodgers. Guys, go back and look at the tape and see what it was. It was a three-step double slant on both sides. Aaron Rodgers worked right and tried to come back left, which is a no-no. Now, back to our normally originally scheduled programming. Sorry to interrupt. He is under the pressure because even without that blocking, what did everybody say, Mike T? With that defense, with a quarterback, that's a Super Bowl offense. That's what everybody told me. That's why they gave up what they gave up to get him. So don't give me now all of a sudden if the offensive line, he's been yapping. They got Tyron Smith. And even if Ty Smith doesn't play 17 games, Book, let's just say for the sake of argument, he gives us 13. 13 games should be good enough if Aaron Rodgers is what we believe he has been and can play, get back to that level again. They should be fine with that defense. He's under the pressure. Now, if you want to say he and the offensive coordinator because they're a package deal, I'll give you that. But to try to put this on the offensive line, this is about Aaron Rodgers.
Just going back to the original question that Molly asked and looking at the graphic, the person under the most pressure is Robert Saleh, guys. It doesn't matter how many games Tyron Smith plays or Mike Williams. If they don't get off to a good start, I mean, Robert Saleh basically said it, guys, and I've been in that city for a long time. They're 1-3 at the end of September. They're 2-6 in October. I don't think he sees November. The expectations are so high because you have the Hall of Fame quarterback coming back. The guy that's under the most pressure is right there. It's Robert Saleh. They haven't won. There's been a lot of reasons why. Some were in his control, some weren't. He didn't make any changes on his coaching staff. He has everything that he's asked for. There's no excuses. And there's nobody in the NFL that the first 4 weeks mean more to than Robert Saleh.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. The city of Buffalo has yet to hoist the Lombardi Trophy. This talented Bills squad led by Josh Allen fell short this postseason with a 27-24 loss in the divisional round again and against the Kansas City Chiefs. Again, it was the third straight year the Bills season ended in this round of the playoffs. Here's Bills head coach Sean McDermott on the team's success thus far. Quote, I think like anything, when you talk about the Bills, whether it's Josh, myself, our team, we've had so much success. What's left for Josh and for all of us is to take that one more step that we need to take to say we haven't had success or Josh has had success. I think that'd be kind of narrow-minded. Booger McFarland, you know what it's like to win a Super Bowl. Tell me this, is success only measured by rings?
You know, when you're built the way the Buffalo Bills are built and you have a franchise quarterback, yes, success is measured only by rings. Because at this point, when you have your franchise quarterback, when your defense has led the league in total defense 3 out of the last 4 or 5 years, I think, and you are who they are with that pedigree, yeah, it's only measured in Super Bowls. And I get it. There's only going to be one winner a year. But when Josh Allen wants to put his name in the pantheon of the great quarterbacks in the National Football League, when he wants to be looked at as right up there, right below Patrick Mahomes and Joe Burrow and Lamar Jackson, all those guys, you got to get it done in the postseason. And I don't want to hear about getting to an AFC championship game and leaving the field with 13 seconds left. The bottom line is just to get it done. If you are supposed to be that team that's supposed to be uber talented and already built, at some point, it's only measured by championship. There's a reason why we look at certain teams certain ways. There's a reason why the 49ers with Montana and Young are revered, and those Buffalo Bills teams that didn't win Super Bowls are not. Still very good teams, but they're not revered the same way. So, yeah, there's levels to the success games. You can be successful, but you have to reach the ultimate level of success, which is winning the Super Bowl.
Oh, seemed
like we lost Boog.
Yeah. You jump in, Shay.
That was a Bills fan.
Exactly. Cut that.
Who was in charge of the audio for Boog's audio? I agree with everything Booger said, because when you have a top five quarterback in Josh Allen and you look at the roster that they have assembled, you've got to parlay that into Super Bowl success. We believe last year, because they believe, man, if we just get Patrick Mahomes on our home field, the two times that we've had him in the playoff, we've had to go to Arrowhead. Mike T, this 2 years in a row, you've had the divisional round of the playoffs on your home field, and you got beat down by Cincinnati. You allowed Patrick Mahomes, and this was the worst Cincinnati team. This was the worst Kansas City team that I believe, because I didn't see this coming, Booger. But I watched them throughout the entirety of the season. There was no defensively, they were very good. But offensively, they were inconsistent at best. And they went on the road. That is the difference in a mindset and a belief with the Kansas City Chiefs. It does not matter. We can go on the road. We can play you at Arrowhead. We can play you on the moon. But we believe we can get it done, and they got it done. So I get Sean McDermott says to say I haven't had success or Josh hadn't had success, you haven't.
But I say it differently, guys. The Buffalo Bills had not made the playoffs in 18 years before Sean McDermott and Josh Allen got to Buffalo. They were incredible. They have given them tremendous credibility. Guys, last segment, we were firing Aaron Rodgers and Robert Saleh. If the New York Jets get to the AFC Championship game this year, that would be a massive success for them. And look, they may win the championship. That's great. But that's still a really good season. What you guys are saying is there's 31 failures and only one successful team. That's not true. And I give
31 teams, they got Josh Allen.
I understand that, but Shannon, you know exactly. The 18 years of the drought, nobody wanted to play in Buffalo. They never made the playoffs. They weren't competitive. We look forward at the Jets and the Dolphins to playing them. They are very relevant. They have credibility. Players want to go there. I think they've checked every box except the championship, and I think Sean McDermott's been a successful NFL head coach.
Mike T, you do realize Tyrod Taylor got him to the playoffs. Tyrod Taylor. Got the Buffalo Bills to the playoffs. They lost to Jacksonville. Did they not?
They did.
Okay. Take off. Go ahead, Boogie. Your turn, Boogie.
Wait, hold on. Every 18 team, years, they couldn't do that.
Every team's journey is going to be deemed a success based on where they are on their journey. If you're just beginning your team build and you achieve greatness, and then to your point, Mike T, yeah, I would be happy. If the Arizona Cardinals got to a Super Bowl this year and didn't win it, we would be like, man, what a massive win, what a massive success because
Thank
of
you.
Where they are, the expectations of where they are, where they eventually want to get to. But if the Buffalo Bills, who's been on this journey for a long time, and they have their franchise quarterback, if they just get to a Super Bowl, well, guess what? Those were the expectations. You got to go out and win one. They didn't overachieve. They didn't meet the ceiling or the level of expectation is to win a Super Bowl when they're at this certain point in their journey. And I think for Buffalo, it's Super Bowl or bust. I get it. And there are only a few teams that are in this situation. Kansas City, Baltimore, Buffalo, San Francisco, Philadelphia, to name a few. Those are the teams where it's Super Bowl or bust. It's not playoffs. It's not division. You can throw the Dallas Cowboys in there. It's Super Bowl or bust for those teams.
If the three of us were hiring an NFL head coach right now, and we were running an organization that had not been to the playoffs in 18 years, and we got to the playoffs as many times as Sean McDermott did, we'd be high-fiving each other.
Let me ask you a question. When the Buffalo Bills come in and they set their chart, they say, guys, if we get to the divisional round of the playoffs, that's successful. Who said? Which team said that? Are they saying that?
No.
Okay. Okay. No further questions, Your Honor. Molly, take off.
Oh, Shannon, I think we have a new segment for you. It's going to be called Take Off, right? And you're just going to go off. And
man, you got Judge Sean here, man. There we go.
I think, Booger, me and you and I just looking at things differently from Mike T. Because here's the thing. Had my brother not gone to the NFL, he was the first guy in our family to go to college and graduate. That's a success. Now, when I go to college, and he not going to the NFL, I go to college, graduate, and go to the NFL, that's more success. There's an expectation that the Buffalo Bills have because of Josh Allen, because of Stephon Diggs, because of all the pieces that they have, as Booger mentioned, that top-flight defense.
And
year after year, they've come up short.
But you got to give Sean McDermott for creating those expectations. He has built credibility and established a program. So to me, just like what your brother, like, he established a tremendous amount, a standard of success, and that's what really Buffalo is. Buffalo is looked upon as one of those upper echelon teams. Before he got there, they were not thought of. They were in that Arizona Cardinal bucket, and I think you deserve a lot of credit from a coach and a team builder to get from one bucket to the other.
Hey, Mike T, let me ask you this. Do they fire Fortune 500 companies, CEOs, when they don't meet expectations?
Of course.
Okay. Are the Buffalo Bills meeting expectations based on what they have on their roster? It's a simple yes or no.
I would say this. There are expectations because of Sean McDermott and Josh Allen.
You see it in the book.
Mike T, take off. Shannon's done.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now to a developing story in the NBA. Raptors forward Jonte Porter is under investigation by the league following multiple instances of betting irregularities over the past several months, multiple sources told ESPN yesterday. So the NBA is looking into some prop bets involving Porter from games on January 26th and March 20th. Players, along with all league employees, are prohibited from betting on any NBA events. That's including, of course, prop bets. Tim Legler back here with us, and Shannon Sharp, and of course, Brian Windhorst. Brian, you, along with David Purdom and Woj, are the ones who reported this story. What is the latest on this?
Yeah, so first off, there isn't any certainty that Jonte Porter actually made a wager himself. What there is a lot of circumstantial evidence and suspicious activity, primarily because, as you can imagine, as a player who's on a two-way contract, while there are betting options offered on players like Jonte in games, it's very unusual to see much volume. And what raised the casino's alarms here and eventually was passed on to the NBA and led the NBA to launch an investigation was on the same night that Jonte Porter had a very increased amount of betting on his prop bets, way higher than you would have for any normal game. Twice in the last 2 months, the same nights those happened, he exited the games with previously not on the injury report illnesses and injuries. Before both games, he was not on the injury report at all, and then he only made it, you know, in one game a little over 3 minutes and in one game a little over 2 minutes. And so that is just extremely suspicious enough to the point where he has been taken and put on leave away from the team, and the NBA is investigating. I don't think we know anything more than that right now. There's certainly a lot to talk to team personnel about, and for the casinos to do their research on. This, in a way, this was the casino's integrity operations that caught this, that flagged this and led to this. And I think that's also a key factor.
No, the casino, they build money with losers' money, not winners' money. It ain't no integrity, because had he had lost, the casino would have never reached out to the NBA. They would have never said a word. It was the fact that he was in their pockets that made them reach out and say, oh, what's going on here? Somebody's betting 85, all this money on a two-way player? Hell, I didn't even know you can bet on a two-way player. And it does look suspicious. All of a sudden, this heavy flow comes in on a guy that's on a two-way contract, and on the under, and then all of a sudden, he exits the game with a non-previously disclosed disclosed injury. And it happens again, I guess, a month or 6 weeks later, Wendy. And so, yes, that piqued the curiosity of the casino, because they say, hey, the one thing we know, you legs, I don't know how much you guys gamble, but if you go to a casino and they suspect you of counting cards, they get you up out of there. They ain't in the business of losing money. And they definitely not going to lose the money through shady practices. So that's what this was about, Wendy, because had he lost that, casino would have never said a word. They never call integrity when they winning your money. It's only when you start to hit their pockets that all of a sudden it comes into question. But this is, it seems awfully suspicious to me also.
Yeah, this can't be coincidental. And look, if you really think about it, what's the best way you can guarantee a prop bet winner? It's to do exactly what he did, which is you've got these numbers out there, and the numbers are pretty low because he's a role player. He's not going to play a lot of minutes as it is. The numbers
exactly.
are very low, right? So what do? You play a couple minutes, take yourself out. That guarantees you can't get to that number, because if you played your normal minutes and you were trying to guarantee you weren't going to get to those numbers, well, that's going to look suspicious to the coach.
Exactly.
Saying, why are you turning down open shots? Why are you not running the floor? You could have had a layup right there. You're not going to the glass, whatever it may be. So this is the perfect way to do it, and this is a big problem. This really is. And look, it's been caught, but you can't have any sort of visual that anything you are watching when it comes to sports is predetermined.
No.
Now you've got a problem on your hands, because now it's like pro wrestling, right? And that it can't be that. It has to be a series of random events taking place. And look though, these leagues now are intertwined with these betting platforms. So this is a big deal right now, and they caught it. And it looks like, let's see what happens. Obviously, a lot more information has to come out, and he's got a lot of things to answer to in terms of what his involvement was, who were the guys that were trying to make money off of this, what was the communication flow there. A lot more has got to come out, but certainly, guys, this does not look like this could be a coincidence to have something like this happen.
Well, one thing one thing I think it's interesting is that the average NBA salary is north of $12 million. Prop betting limits are relatively low for people who are professional athletes. However, there are some players at the bottom end of the NBA food chain, like Jontay Porter. Again, he's on a two-way contract. He's scheduled to earn about $400,000 this year, less than even the minimum salary for a first-year player who's on a full contract. And so that is the area where I think the NBA has to keep special attention to, because the risk-reward, you know, in a case like Porter, he's had two ACL tears in his career. He hasn't played, and he didn't play in the NBA the last 2 years. He played in the NBA in 2021. He's basically barely hanging on to the edge of the league. And so that's a situation you have to watch. And I also think this is something you particularly have to watch in college as well, because there are players in college who may not, you know, be seeing potential opportunities in professional sports. And that's always been the case. And, you know, a couple of years ago, guys, I went to Sport Radar, which is one of the big sports data companies in London, and I watched their integrity operation, and I saw how they track betting. There is a real apparatus to try to watch for this, but what you're concerned about when you hear about this is the stuff that doesn't get caught. And that's what makes everybody uneasy, I think.
And the thing what's happening, guys, is that the MLB, the NBA, the NFL, the gambling sites, the DraftKings, the ESPN bets, all of them are embedded. And they want to keep this relationship with these sports teams. because the sports team, they love taking their money. Now, this is what we're saying now. We're going to let you know if something is known to up and up, and we're going to need you to do something about it. So it's one hand washing the other. So the sports betting, they're going to let these sports leagues know when there's something is suspicious, and the leagues are like, okay, we need to get this because, Lex, as you said, I need to be at home, and I need to know that everything that I'm watching is on the up and up because if anything is predetermined, it's WWE.
Well, I can tell you guys right now, if this was going on when I played, I would have taken the over on my three-point attempts, and I would have shot the ball every time I touched it. It's a win-win situation.
Yes.
It's a win-win in that situation.
Well, that's the thing. The fact that he left the game, right. One of the biggest winning bets was whether he was going to make a three. The over-under was 0.5.
If you want to guarantee it, take yourself out of the game. That's
what
I'm
saying.
It is unbelievable.
If you shoot a three, you might make it.
So, yes.
And that's
right.
And the other thing is anybody can sprain their ankle 2 minutes into the game and leave. Where this got flagged was when this happened a second time last week. I think that's where things got
Shady
really intense.
Shady McShade. Suspect. That's all I gotta say.
Let's just hope it was an isolated incident. You know, somebody they can go back and slow it down because you know in slow motion you can see things that you couldn't see with the naked eye, and maybe somebody brazed him in the eye, and maybe he stepped on a popcorn kernel, or somebody threw one on the floor and he stepped on it and tweaked his ankle. But boy, this I'm like you, Wendy. Man, this looks awful suspicious.
Wendy, it's gonna be really interesting to see how this plays out and how the league handles it.
Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
Breaking news into First Take out of the association. LeBron James will not be playing tonight. This is official against the Milwaukee Bucks. We you know earlier we mentioned in the show that he's doubtful dealing with that ankle. Shannon, your reaction to LeBron being out tonight versus the Bucks?
I can't say that I'm terribly surprised considering that he's still in top 10 and top 20 in minutes played and played a lot of minutes against the Indiana Pacers the other night in a 150-145 victory. So I can't say I'm terribly surprised by him missing game, but I think he'll ramp it up. I think Wendy said they have about 10, 13 games left in the regular season. It's hard for me to see he don't play at least 10 or 11 of those games.
Okay, from your squad to your sport here. So Mike Tannenbaum puts his GM hat back on and makes his own selections for each team in the first round of the 2024 draft. You can look at it there. The first four players off the board are quarterbacks. Arizona taking Michigan quarterback J.J. McCarthy at four. Shannon, are you buying the J.J. McCarthy hype? Hey, Mike.
Yeah, for me, absolutely. He is a guy that, to me, the best is yet to come. The floor is pretty high, and the ceiling is limitless. They didn't ask him to throw the ball a lot, Molly. He led the nation on third down efficiency, and to me, he has the right size and the right athleticism to be a frontline difference-making quarterback at the NFL level.
Jay?
And that's why I kind of like say no, because I didn't see enough. And you could be right, Mike T, because he wasn't asked to do a whole lot. And when he did was asked, it was a lot of times off of play action or using his athletic ability to get outside and make plays. So but because I haven't seen enough and I see where you have him slotted at number four to the Cardinals, if I'm the Cardinals, I'm going to get Marvin Harrison Jr. I'm going to give Kyler Murray someone to throw the football to. I'm not so sure I'd take him at four if I'm the Arizona Cardinals, considering I've got Kyler Murray on a big contract and I don't think they're ready to move on from him. And so for that reason, because I haven't seen enough, and maybe you're right, Mike T, maybe the ceiling is way up here for him, but I needed to see a little bit more to really quantify and to judge what he can do at the next level.
Mike T, you think the Giants get a quarterback?
They should, Molly, and they're going to have to get up to get J.J. McCarthy. They need one. And J.J. McCarthy today is better, younger, cheaper, and more durable than Daniel Jones. That's an easy decision. Just going real quick back to Shannon's point, I like J.J. McCarthy and $27 million a year, which is the difference in their salaries between J.J. McCarthy and Kyle Murray.
Oh, so because you believe they'll give you the same level, your same level of wins, because see, I guess you don't think the Carolina can win more with Kyler as opposed to JJ.
Bye, guys. Bye, Mike. Bye, Shay. Bye, everyone at home.
Take off, Molly.
Take off.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them. You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.